Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for taking the opportunity to join us on this morning. Grace Nurtured is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Pansel. You've all heard him before, so expect no less than greatness on today. His topic is taking responsibility, something that we all should be held accountable for. So stop whatever it is that you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Pansel, you are on the air.
Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, everyone who has joined our call this morning. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Thanks again, Danielle, for your gracious introduction, as always. And we hope that something we say lands well with you and causes you to dig a little deeper in your spiritual journey and just be the person that God wants you to be. I'll start off with a little story here this morning. I had taken one of the dogs out, and then I came back in, and when I shut the door there to the back of the house, I heard this buzzing noise. I said, oh, Lord. So I looked around. There was a huge fly that had gotten in, so I had to run to shut the second door before he got in the living room there. So got the dog in. Here I am trying to swat this big fly. He's just buzzing around. I know you guys would probably be on the floor laughing if you actually saw this scenario. So I got this towel, and I didn't have a fly swatter, so here I am swatting, and I finally get him. And lands on the ground, and then I put my size 12 shoe on him to make sure he turned the lights out before bed there. But, you know, those things happen to us, and I had to take some responsibility or let this little joker in the house or, you know, try to fool with getting him back outside where he belongs. But I think I made the right decision there. So sometimes these things happen in our life. Taking responsibility, we all can do that, and we all should assume the management or leadership of our lives. The definition for responsibility is, one definition is something for which is responsible, a duty, obligation, or burden. So whether we realize it or not, every one of us has responsibility for something. It's either our own lives, a chore, something at work, something that we can be held accountable for. And if you take that responsibility and you live your life in a way that God wants you to, you do that every day. You do that when no one is watching. You do that because that's the person that you should be. Another definition is the ability or authority to act or decide on one's own without supervision. We talked about, you know, doing the right thing when no one's looking. Or no one sees you. Also, the obligation to carry forward an assigned task to a successful conclusion, a form of trustworthiness. We are all tagged with the responsibility to carry on the Lord's work and mission. All these things we do, the programs we bring you, the services we conduct, our responsibility is to plug in, stay plugged in, and get others to join us in all of this goodness that the Lord is raining down on us. So that's our responsibility. And I know we all take that seriously, and we want to be better Christians each day. I'm going to start out with a story. So the guy says, my wife and I recently returned from a short trip to the mountains of New Mexico. It was lovely and relaxing, except for the summer traffic. I was good at complaining about the poor driving habits of those around me. There's all sorts of poor drivers out there. I know this is going to resonate with everyone. So, you know, the ones who ride your bumper or the ones who cut in front of you at high speeds. He says, it was easy for me to dismiss these dangerous drivers. Then I got behind a slow-moving truck and decided to go around him. I waited for a pickup to pass me on the left as he passed the truck. As soon as the pickup had passed me, I started to pull to the left into the passing lane. However, I never saw a small black sedan which was right on the bumper of the pickup. He swerved slightly at 75 miles per hour. I swerved slightly the other way, and we avoided a collision. That put a stop to me complaining about other drivers for the rest of the trip home. So you see, our lives can end in a second, just one small second. Is it really worth it, you know, driving fast and driving a little crazy just to pull into the grocery store? I mean, where are we going? The point of the story, the point of all this is to say we often think we're doing well until we're confronted with reality of our failings. We can cruise along confidently, knowing that we're doing better than others, then suddenly we are face to face with our own mistakes. What happens next says more about your character than anything else. True character is not just revealed in how brave we are, but how honest we are with ourselves. There's a lot of people that are brave that beat their chest and stand out there and they're boisterous and look at me. But how honest we are with ourselves makes the most difference. So Joseph needs to figure that out with his brothers. He's fed them once and returned their money, have returned to Egypt for more food after about 2 years. You ever have folks to return to your home and refrigerator after a couple years and clean it out? So Joseph has blessed them. He fed them a feast in his palace. You remember the story. He listened to them and tested them. So sometimes you got to test folks, right? Each time it seems they are a changed group of men based upon their experience. Joseph has one more test to see if they'll own up to what they've done. It says, then he commanded his house stewards, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain. And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as it was light, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. They had just gone out of the city and were not far off when Joseph said to his steward, up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which the Lord drinks and which he indeed uses for divination? You've done wrong in doing this. So he overtook them and spoke these words to them. They said to him, why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, money which we found in the mouth of our sacks, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? Anyone had any silver or gold stole from their home? All right, we'll keep with the lesson here. We're going. I wanted to make you chuckle here on Friday. If you got your hands on the wheel, just hold on tight. With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. So he said, now let it also be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and the rest of you shall be innocent. Then they heard each man lowered his sack to the ground. Each man had opened up his sack, looking in it. He searched, being with the oldest and the endest, and ending with the youngest. So start with the oldest one, end with the youngest one. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and when each man loaded his donkey, they returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, what is this deed that you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination? So Judah said, what can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found. But he said, far be it from me to do this, the man whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah approached him and said, Oh, my lord, may your servant please speak a word in my lord's ear. And do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. My lord asked his servants, saying, Have you a father or a brother? We said to my lord, We have an old father and a little child of his old age. Now his brother is dead, so he alone is left of his mother, and his fathers love him. Then you said to your servants, Bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. You ever said that about a child or someone you've been disappointed at? Bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. But we said to my lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. You said to your servants, however, Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again. Thus it came about when we went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord. Our father said, Go back, buy us a little food. But we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Your servant, my father said to us, You know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces. And I have not seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm befells him, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow. So the story goes on there. It says, Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad and a slave to my lord, and the lad go up to his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Not fear that I see the evil that would overtake my father. That's over in Genesis 41, verses 1 through 34. You can read that at your convenience. So from this particular passage, we learn how Joseph tested his brothers and what that means for us. Maybe it's time to test others in our life. When we take responsibility again, we're being the leaders of our family. We're being the managers. We're being accountable. And when things negative happen in our life, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about that. You need to talk about 10 blessings to overcome that negative thing. What are 10 positive things that is happening or is happening around you to help you overcome this negative? You can get through it. Danielle, I'm going to open it up for any prayers that anyone has or anything we can do for them today to help them with their responsibility.
Unfortunately, time does not permit, so if you would proceed with the closing prayer.
Absolutely. So, Father, thank you for having us to take the responsibility you've given us to be Christians and walk in this world before we get to the next. Everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, strives to be a better Christian. You see our hearts. You see what's going on in our families and our lives. You know, we have surgeries, we have the pandemic, we ask for the safety of our truckers and drivers out there. We ask to maintain and hold our jobs and hold an income to be able to provide for our families. We ask that every time our speakers speak on a call like this, that maybe something touches one of us and we're able to pick up what's going on in our life and move forward. We want to advance your word in every way. Lord, let us study your word every week, every day, read a passage. Think of 10 things the Lord has done for you to overcome some of the negative things that are happening. Stay in a good mind and also read your Bibles and reach out to people like-minded that can help you work through whatever is happening in your life at this time. Thank you for a call like this, Lord. Thank you for our weekend ahead of us. It's Labor Day. Let us labor for the Master in every single way. In Jesus' name, I pray today. Amen.